Let me just say it again. Happy New Year. A few people have come in since I greeted everyone. How many of you just use a little better year than last year? I mean, you know, sometimes you're just really glad to see that calendar just flip over to a new year and it's a fresh start. And I'm not much of a prophet, but the Lord does speak to me, especially about our church and what's going on. And the only real word that I got for this year is two words: new things. You know, I think sometimes we want to go back. We want to recover, you know, some great era of our life. And that's just impossible. You really can't go backwards. And for most of us, we really don't want to go backwards. Let's go forward. Let's go to something. Let's believe for something better. And I'm going to address that a little bit more on Tuesday night. We are going to have a team meeting on Tuesday night. So if you're part of the team or you want more information about our church and the vision of our church, I'm really going to share a lot of that on Tuesday night at 6:30. We're going to follow that up with a time of prayer. I'm calling our church beginning on Tuesday into just a season of fasting and prayer. I will let you determine what kind of fast that you would like to do. You know, most of us could probably use a little bit of fasting away from rich and ridiculous foods. That'd probably be a good idea for all of us. But you know, in the world that we live in today, I find oftentimes a fast away from a lot of our noise and inputs is a good idea, just to get away from the internet, some of our social media and so forth, and just that time that you're spending doing those things, spend that time seeking God and His kingdom and His will for your life. And let's also just get into agreement. If you have decided this is your church home, we just say welcome home, welcome to the family. And then be praying in agreement with us about what God wants to do this year in Cornerstone Church. We believe that we've had a very solid start to building our team, but now it's time for us to take those invitation cards, start inviting our friends and family, and really build this church. We are considering the first Sunday of March our actual official launch date. I know that seems a little funny because we've been having church services, but quite frankly, we started right before the holidays. We started right in the middle of winter, and that's not the best time to start a church, but it's a pretty good time to build a team, and that's what we're doing right now. But that first Sunday of March, we're expecting hundreds of people to be here for that Sunday, and we've got just a couple of months to get ready for that. So I appreciate your help with that. So let's jump right into this sermon today. And let me just say, this year is just the time for no more excuses. Just no excuses. I mean, some of us have been hiding behind some of those. There are many variables that determine the level of success that you're going to experience in life. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, success or failure comes. Many of these variables are just completely out of our control. You know, pastors cringe when they see the snow and ice coming on a Saturday night. It's way out of your control. I mean, you're begging, pleading with God, please don't, you know, let the snow come. I mean, you know, because we have once a week basically to connect with people, and we only have 52 Sundays in a year, and you start losing those to weather, and you just, you know, you got some momentum going, and but it's out of your control. You can't control that. And other people, you know, often when people come to me for, let's just say, counseling, I'm not a professional counselor, but I can maybe give a little bit of godly and biblical wisdom to people. Invariably people come to talk to me about somebody else. You know, let me tell you about my boss and what's happening at work. Let me tell you about my spouse, and could you fix them for me? And the thing is we don't have control over other people. We don't have control over a lot of outside variables in life. But and many people focus really on the variables that they cannot control, and then use those variables that are out of their control as the reason or the excuse for remaining defeated and discouraged. I do believe, however, that you and I have control over enough variables, and the most important variables in our life, to determine the level of success that we will have in life. Now, when I throw out the word success, I mean, I can see the wheels spinning, all right, in your head, and I can see, you know, that means different things to different people. Let's just say, I'm not going to try to tell you what success in your life is going to be, nor should you try to tell me what success in my life should be. Those are just different things to different people. We have different values. We have a different set of criteria by which to measure that. But let's just say this. Let's just determine and let's just agree on a definition for success today. Let's just call it a life well lived. That would be successful. That my life is a life well lived. Okay? Would that be okay with everybody? I mean, that wouldn't that be the goal of everybody's life? I want my life to have meaning and purpose, but I want to have happiness in it. So let me just say, you have control over enough variables and the most important variables to overcome every outside influence in your life. You do have the ability to be successful, as successful as you desire to be. Concerning your own life, you can make excuses or you can take charge and own it. You see, I refuse, and you should too, to allow other people or things out of our control to determine the results of our lives. Yes, we're going to have setbacks. Yes, there are going to be things that happen to us that wasn't our fault. That's everybody. Okay? And that can knock you out of the game, that can knock you down and keep you down, or you can be determined, I am not going to let that thing or that circumstance or those people define my life. Or you can take charge, you can own this thing. Your life is too precious to let other people and other things control how your life turns out. Let's take charge. If you don't take charge, things could actually get worse. Really? I mean, I'm depressed enough and I come to church and you can tell me it could get worse. That's not what I came to church for. But you need to know the truth. If you don't do anything about your circumstances, more than likely, things get worse, not better. Hey, when you were young and you didn't have any money at all, maybe you're still there, or maybe you're older and don't have any money at all. But you remember when you heard something wrong with your car and you tried to ignore it because, like, you knew whatever it was, you couldn't fix it because you didn't have any money to fix it? Maybe it'll get better. How's that work? It doesn't work. It just gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, when I was in college, I drove a car that most of the transmission was gone. So I just used the transmission that I had left. You understand? And it burnt a quart of oil every single day. I put gas and oil in my car every day. It was like this big Buick that I bought from my great grandmother that lived up here in Savannah. And it was a gas guzzler. You know, you could have put 14 people in that car. It was humongous car, but the transmission was going out of it. And we didn't have any money. Michelle and I were both in school full time. We were both working, you know, paying the bills. We were young. We didn't have anything. And I wasn't really ignoring it, but I just couldn't do anything about it. And so you didn't want to get behind me on a hill. Because not only could I not get up the hill very fast because I didn't have that gear, you know what I mean? So we kind of had to work up to, you know, about third, you know, and there was this cloud of blue smoke that you would. So it was like, oh, dear God, help me make the light. All right. So it just got worse. It didn't get better. Trying to ignore it, it just got worse. And ignoring what's going on in your life, if it's not going well, is not going to cause it to get better. It actually could get worse. But if you're going to have a well-lived life, then you're going to have to do so purposefully. You're going to have to establish some goals. Now, a goal is very simple. A goal is the result towards which effort is directed. So it's not really a goal if you're not going to direct any effort towards that goal. You could write down a goal, you know. I could write down, you know, I want to be president of the United States. Apparently, almost anybody can do it. All right. But if I don't direct any effort towards that, and that, come on, I'm not getting real political. I'm just being funny. All right. So don't. All right. All right. Okay. I probably shouldn't have gone there. All right. But you're going to have to do something about that goal. So let me just, you should be taking notes if you're not. But let me just give you some tips for a well-lived life. And I am going to get into scripture here really, really quickly. But if you're going to have a well-lived life, it's going to have something to do with love. You're going to have to learn, give, help, heal, serve, and laugh. Now, Michelle, yesterday, we were sitting and reading and I was looking at my sermon and reading some different stuff. And she was doing some reading, researching. And she said, hey, I came across this thing. It says 10 keys to happier living. I said, well, that would fit my sermon. Give it to me. And here it is. 10 keys to happier living. And there's people that research these things. And if you use it as an acrostic, it spells out great dream. All right. The G is giving. If you're going to have this well-lived life, you're going to find it in giving, giving to others, doing things for other people. The R is relating. If you're going to have a well-lived life, it's going to be filled with other people. If you're going to have a well-lived life, then the E is exercising. You can say yay, or you can moan, or you can groan. But we were talking to some of us old guys were standing in the back talking about how when we exercise, how it hurts so much. But you know what? There is the pain of lethargy, or there is the pain of exercise. And I'm just going to choose that proactive pain. And our bodies, I was watching this dog the other day run up this gravel road. And you know, we live out in the country, so we see deer, we see turkey, we see, you know, sometimes you'll see a coyote, and they're always running. And I thought, you know, I think we're supposed to be moving. I think even as human beings, you know, we're one of the animals of the planet, aren't we also? And every other thing is moving, and they're exercising, and they run. So even an old cow, you know, will run every once in a while if you spook it, you know, or if you, you know, try to take its baby. I mean, it'll come after you, right? I mean, so we're built to move and to exercise. We have muscles. We should use them. The A is awareness. We need to live our life mindfully. In other words, we're sometimes so focused on what we don't have. We're so focused on other things. We're so focused on the future that we're not very mindful and aware of what's going on in our life right now. Right now is the only moment you really have. You know, our granddaughter, Lainey, will be three this month in just a few weeks. And she spent the night with us a couple of times over the last week or so. And in the morning, she said, is it tomorrow? I said, yes, it is. But really, it's not. We always live in a day called today, don't we? And so we need to be aware of that. And we need to make the most of that. The T is for trying out. In other words, we need to keep learning new things. The D for the dream is direction. We need to have goals and look forward to things. The R is resilience. We need to find ways to bounce back when we get knocked down. The E is emotions. We need to look for what is good. It's so easy to focus on what's wrong instead of what's right in our lives. But if you're going to have a well-lived life, you're going to have to start focusing on what's good in your life. I mean, we have a neighbor, And you just almost hate to go talk to her. You know what I mean? Because she can turn any positive thing into a negative. You know, somehow Columbia, Missouri came up in the conversation. I thought, man, Columbia is a great town. It's a great city. Oh, I don't know. You know, I mean, she could turn any positive thing into negative. The A is for acceptance. We need to learn how to be comfortable with who we are. And the M for the great dream is we need to be part of something. We need to have meaning and purpose in our lives and be part of something bigger than ourselves. So let's take a look at establishing some goals that will lead to better results in our life. I'm going to give you a formula that I learned several years ago. And at first, when you first hear this, you're maybe going to have a temptation to believe that this isn't right or even be offended by this statement. But I want you to listen to the whole thing before you prejudge this. But this formula for success is a little formula. It's an addition problem. Intent plus mechanism equals results. Followed by this statement, you always do what you intend to do. Now, it's a little harsh. Because, you know, I've sat down, I've written out my goals for the year, and, you know, I always have this kind of way out there goal for how much I want to weigh. Okay? And I haven't hit that mark in like 15 years. Okay? Because, you know, you say, well, but you had good intentions. Well, good intentions don't mean a hill of beans. When 10 o'clock at night rolls up or after Michelle goes to bed, my real intention is to sneak chips out of the pantry. Come on. My real intention is to eat a bowl of cereal. Come on, somebody. So you always do what you intend to do. You can say I want to, you know, X, but your real intention will always rat you out because you do what you intended to do. And so I intended to satisfy that ridiculously just stupid urge that I've had, you know, since I was a teenager. See, when I was a teenager, I could eat anything and as much of anything that I wanted. But how many of you know those days are long gone forever? All right. So, but I have some good intentions. I've always intended to be a lifelong learner. And so I do read voraciously. I mean, I read lots of books and lots of articles and that sort of thing because I have always intended to be a lifelong learner and to know things and to learn new things. And so it works in both directions. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he, as a person, thinks in his heart, so is he." So let me just emphasize again that you have on the inside of you everything necessary. If you're born again, I mean, if you're born again, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Comforter comes, not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to live on the inside of you. Now, how can you have God living on the inside of you and you not have everything that you need to be successful in life? I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, he's going to show you things to come. He's going to speak of me and he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to take what the Father is speaking and reveal those things to you. Jesus said in Luke 17:20, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. In other words, it's not something outside of ourselves. It's not some event that we're waiting for. Here's my trouble. Even with praying for quote unquote revival. Okay? I don't want to make people mad again. I already hit the politics. Now I'm going to hit another one. All right? But it's like we're always waiting for some event that we have absolutely no control over, as if we can't do anything at all about causing something great to happen because we desire it. Are you listening to me? Like we're waiting for some event. We're waiting for God to show up. But you know what? That's what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come anymore. He came. And now He lives on the inside of us. So the kingdom of God is not some observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. There it is. For indeed, and you know this, the kingdom of God is within you. You have what it takes to be successful. God deposited success in you. And it's time for us. It's time for what God put in you to come out of you. It's time for you to take charge and to own it. Now, let me talk to you about this formula. This intent plus mechanism equals results. Intent is your purpose. Intent is your vision. Intent is your dream. Like you want something different. You want something new. You want something better in your life. That's your intent. The mechanism is the how. How is this going to happen? Most people focus on how. On the mechanism. I've spoken to a lot of Bible school students, you know, Bible college students, and they always want to know, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I do the other thing? How do I do this? And I said, you guys are focusing on the wrong part of the formula. You need to focus on what is God giving you to do? What has God called you to do? You need to focus on this dream, on this vision, on this purpose that God has deposited in your life. Because when the intention is clear, the mechanism, the how, will appear. The most important part of achieving your goal is to focus on the goal itself, on your desire, on your passion. Look with me to Psalm 40. This morning. Psalm 40. I've listened to a lot of commentary on you know, this political season that we've just come through. One of the reasons the results turned out the way that they did is because one candidate had a very, 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 very clear message that he wanted people to get a hold of and understand. And they said, yes. And if you think back of all the other candidates, and there was like dozens of them, right? And you think back through that and you think, well, what did they believe? And what did they stand for? And what vision did they put out for our country? And you can't come up with anything. You don't know what they wanted. You don't know what they were going to do or what they said they were going to do, because their message was just so convoluted. You know, it was almost like, pick me because I'm the best. Right? Pick me because I'm better than the other guys or the other gals or what have you. There was one candidate, and you can tell me, everybody in the room can tell me, the one very simple third grade level message, vision that he put out. Make America great again. And people go, oh, yeah, okay, let's do that. All right? So I'm telling you, when that vision is clear, the mechanism will appear. He figured out how to get it done, right? Okay, again, Dem, Republican, whatever. I don't care this morning. I really don't. Because, you know, my mission is Jesus and Him crucified and Him raised again from the dead. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm part of the kingdom of heaven, which supersedes all other kingdoms, all right? But I'm just telling you, there is power in understanding. And so if you want something different for your life, you need to get that very, very clear. Because when it's out of focus, when it's blurry, you can't really do anything about it. You need to have a crystal clear vision of what God wants to do. See, Michelle and I have a very crystal clear vision of what's going to happen in our life this year. And the empty seats that you see around you are quickly going to be filled up. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen. I know that's what's going to happen. Well, how? I don't know. That's not my problem. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. So we're going to focus on doing what God told us to do. And we're going to do that over and over and over again. We're going to be very diligent about that. We're going to give every effort to that. We're going to keep presenting that vision in front of people. And you just watch this place week after week after week after week. Just fill up, fill up, fill up. We'll fill it up once and then we'll start a second service. Can everybody say amen to that? All right. And just, you say, how do you know? Because, man, I've spent time with God. on this. The vision is clear. The mechanism will appear. Psalm 40, verse 8, one verse. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. It starts with wanting what God wants. Look, if you're going to have a better vision for your life, it starts with wanting God's will to be done in your life. I mean, I remember preaching this like decades ago, and I had a piano player in our church named Eric, and he wrote a song out of this sermon that I preached from Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O Lord. I delight to do your will. Your word is hidden in my heart. I delight to do your will. It starts with delighting in God's will. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I hope you brought your Bible, and you should bring your Bible every time to church, even if it's on your smartphone. All right? And follow along. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, for this reason, we also, since we heard it. This is a beautiful prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Colossae. He said, I do not cease to pray for you and ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I've always considered this. If Paul could pray that prayer for the church in Colossae, then I could pray that prayer for the church in St. Joseph, and you could pray that prayer for your own self. And you should be praying that prayer. Lord, I pray that I would be filled with the knowledge of your will. I pray, God, that you would grant to me, give to me, the knowledge of what it is you want me to do with my life, your will for my life, in all wisdom, in spiritual understanding, because God, I want to walk and live my life in a way that will please you. See, understanding how to write out goals for your life starts with this delight in doing God's will, in seeking first the kingdom of God, in seeking God's will to be accomplished. Focus on God's will, His intent, His purpose for your life. Focus is the adjustment that gives clear vision, like binoculars. You know, you ever look through binoculars? It's like it's fuzzy, but then you adjust the little fine, like all of a sudden it's real clear. Have you ever, you know, downloaded a picture and it's like fuzzy, but if you give it a few seconds, it just comes into clarity. It's like, oh, yeah, that's beautiful. If you notice almost every day on the daily chapel that I write so that we could go together as a church, as a place to just worship God and pray. Most people use it first thing in the morning. It's dailychapel.com. It's on our website. It's on our church app. But that picture, sometimes when I start looking for different pictures, I'll look for Christmas pictures, or I'll look for January pictures, or I just look for beautiful scenery sometimes, or spiritual things. And at first I'm like, I don't know if I like that picture. And then all of a sudden, after I click on it, that focus becomes crystal clear. I go, that's it. That's the picture I'm going to use for today. And so I'm just asking us at the beginning of this year, just to take a little time to allow God's will to come into perfect focus. Take a little time to turn the knobs, if you will, and allow God's will to become very clear and evident in our lives. So we're going to have to seek God's will in prayer. In James chapter 1, we have this tremendous promise from God. Is that up there, James 1, verse 5. Do you have the scriptures? All right. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. What's God going to do? So we have this idea that God's trying to hide himself from us. And I just don't believe that to be true. I believe that God wants to reveal his will to each and every one of us. So we have this promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. And it says, now, if you're doing so, if you're asking for God's will to be revealed in your life, asking for God's wisdom to be revealed in your life, you need to do so without doubting, you know, and believe that he's going to do that. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 17. Can I tell you that the principles from today's message, this isn't the most, you know, shout me down preacher message you're ever going to hear from me this year. All right. But I'm telling you, this one message that I've received from God has made the biggest impact in my life as far as the results that come in my life. And so I'm going to give you the rest of this morning. So I'm telling you, this message on writing out goals and seeking God's will and then walking that thing out has made all the difference for Michelle and I. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Didn't Jesus say almost something exactly the same? Matthew 7 says, ask. Jesus said, ask what? It'll be given to you. Seek and you will. You can talk. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I'm telling you, we need to take some time. That's why I'm calling us to fasting and prayer. Look at Habakkuk. I don't know. Chapter 2. All right. I want you to see this. It's right after Nahum. No problem for you. All right. This one verse has made a profound impact on my life. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The first sentence there says, write the vision. Now we have a man in our church, has been in our church for decades now. When they came to church, and they're Michelle's in my age, and I knew his wife in school. She was in Michelle's grade in school, and they came to church. Their marriage was not doing so hot, and you just didn't know if they were going to make it. But man, they stuck with it. And he said, Pastor Sam, every time if you announce you're going to do like a Vision Sunday, you're going to talk about vision and the future and what's, he said, man, I make sure I never miss any of those. I never miss any of those Sundays. He said, everything you ever said from this pulpit that God was going to do in our church, every single thing has happened every single time. And it's all come out of this process of seeking first the kingdom of God, delighting ourselves in God's will for our life, asking that God would reveal his plan and purpose for us, and then writing it down. Writing it down. In my backpack's in the hall closet there. But in there, my journal from this past year is in there. And everything I believe God ever spoke to me is written down. Last year's goals for 2016, all written down. They're all written down. And as we go through the year and things start happening, I start checking them off. And that happened, and that happened, and that happened. I mean, one of the goals that we had for this year, for 2017, I've already checked that off my list. I mean, Michelle and I were married in December 35 years. I thought, you know, hey, the woman that's put up with me for 35 years, come on, and then dated me for several years before that, come on. I mean, she deserves a trip. All right, come on. I mean, if you know me better, you know her better, you'll know she deserves a trip. And so a son-in-law loves to research and research trips and get deals on trips and had a certain place I wanted to go. And I knew he'd be home over the holiday. And I texted him one day. I said, hey, you got to help me with this trip. And so he came out to the house, documents. I mean, he had printouts of you could do this and you could do that. You could do the other thing. And here's the price of this and here's the price of that. And if you go here and we sat down and we clicked through the computer and booked our trip. All right. That was a goal I had written down for this year. And that trip is booked and it's paid for and we're going to take it. Amen. All right. And I just want you to see how this works. I just wrote it down. But it causes you, and you need to write things out in specific details. When you're writing the vision, you need to write them in positive statements, not negative ones. Let me give you an example. You need to write things like eat more fruits and vegetables, you don't write down quit eating junk food. So if you write down quit eating junk food, the only thing in your mind is junk food. You know, quit eating cookies. So the only thing that you really think of now is cookies, all right? So you replace maybe more negative habits with more positive habits. So if you haven't been a reader in your life, you need to write something down like read 10 books this year, not quit wasting time on Facebook. Because if you say, I need to quit wasting time on Facebook, I wonder who's on. I mean, I quit wasting time on Facebook. I wonder what I'm missing. Have you ever clicked on there and just searched for like 10 minutes, hoping to find something worthy of your 10 minutes and then to walk away disappointed? I mean, after a while, no offense, we don't care what you had for lunch. I mean, one day, several years ago, I decided on a Saturday, I'm just going to play a little experiment here. I am going to post every single thing I do today. Other than, All right. And so if I went to Walmart, I'm going to Walmart now. I just bought a pair of socks. Glory be to God. I mean, and just all the time. I just checked out now. And some people got the joke and other people going, they were hitting like, really? I just filled up my car with gas, just the whole thing. Come on, somebody, let's do something productive, but don't make that a negative statement. Make it a positive statement. All right. Allow your positive choices to reduce and to eliminate your negative ones. You need to have well-rounded written goals. So I have a section in my journal that has to do with personal things. I have a section in there that has to do with family goals, spiritual goals, vocational goals, community goals. Look at this, and we'll close with this. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. So when you're writing, the key element here is write them down. How many of you really want something different? Like 1 year from now, you want something to be different, meaning better. I mean, you're very specific. All right. I want you to get laser focused on that thing and write that down in as many details as you can. Now, there was a time and place in our life. I told you about our car. I mean, I had to write things down like new tires for the car. Now, that's where this started. Right. We had to believe God for tires for the car. Some of you, it's been a long time. If you need tires, you go buy tires. But, how many of you can remember when you couldn't afford tires? I mean, we had to believe God. We had to believe God to pay the rent. We had to believe God to pay for the school tuition. We had to believe God, to return our tithe to the Lord. And we just did, no matter what. And we just believed God. And we just always. But I'm telling you, we couldn't pay rent and buy tires. You couldn't pay the utility bill and buy tires. I mean, God had to do something, right? And so we wrote down new tires for the car. Things like that. So write down as specific detail as you can of what you believe God's will is for your life. Now look at this, Isaiah 54. And again, I love this verse. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. You need to stretch yourself. Your goals should, there's something on that piece of paper or on your iPad or in your smartphone, wherever you're going to keep your goals, and keep your goals in a place where you can look at them often. Keep them in a place. I mean, I'm still old fashioned in that I carry a day timer. Because in my day timer, I have different sections of different things going on in my life. And I like to physically write things down. I don't mind typing things out on the screen. And there's nothing magic about that, okay? That just means I'm old, all right? So older, all right? I just like to write it down and see it in my own handwriting, okay? I still like to see that. But you need to keep those goals in a place where you can see them. But there should be something on that list. It would take God to do it. You know what I mean? Like this would take God. God would have to show up and do something big for this to happen. All right. I mean, we serve a God that nothing's impossible with him. Isn't that right? But you know what? There was a man that brought his son to Jesus. And he said, man, would you cast the devil out of my son? I mean, he's tormented. This demon will throw him in the fire or try to drown him. I mean, he was probably having some kind of epileptic seizures, right? And the man said, I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. And the man said, Jesus, if you can do anything, would you help my son? And Jesus said the most fascinating thing to this man. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Man, nothing's impossible with God. We believe that. But Jesus flipped it another way and said, all things are possible to him that believes. There should be something in your list that it would absolutely take God to do it. But you have to believe it. Man, let's believe that God's going to do something. How many really truly believe God's going to do something great in this building? I really do. I mean, I really absolutely. I mean, Michelle and I have bet our whole entire life on the fact that God's going to do something great in this building. That's how much we believe it. That's how much we believe it. We've bet our whole entire life on the fact that God's going to do something great in this building. But you know what? It'd take God to do it. Because in June, I didn't know anybody that wanted to have church with me in St. Joseph. In June, I didn't know anybody. Not one person did I know. Could I think? I thought maybe Penny would come, you know, because she used to go to our church. And I thought maybe her brother might come. All right? Because they're from Chillicothe, and they were in our church in Chillicothe. And I might thought a few college students would go over. But, you know, it's kind of hard to build a church with college students. You know why? Yeah, you know. All right. Love their enthusiasm, but man, they don't pay the utility bill very well. All right, I'm just saying. Keep your goals where you can see them. Final thing, seek to be a blessing, not to be blessed. Seek to be a blessing, and God by default will have to bless you. If you seek to be blessed, that's selfish. Right? But if you seek to be a blessing, God will have to bless you because it's hard to bless somebody else unless you're blessed. Amen. Now let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's just begin to ask God to speak to us. Let's start the process right now. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things for me this week. If you can come back out on Tuesday night at 6:30, please come. If you can't come out, I know we have a few people that don't like to get out and drive after dark. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be here at noon on Wednesday, and I'm going to go through the same team meeting. I'm going to go through the same prayer meeting. But let's absolutely, literally seek first the kingdom of God this year and His righteousness. Let's seek God's plan and purpose for our lives individually. Let's seek God's plan and purpose for our life together as a church family. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would reveal Your will to us. The will that You have for our lives as individuals, we ask that You would reveal Your will to us. Lord, we ask that You would reveal Your will and purposes for our family this year. Lord, we're asking that You do so in Jesus' name. Lord, we're asking that You would reveal the will and the purpose that You have for Cornerstone Church here in St. Joseph and all over northern Missouri. Father God, we ask that You would, Lord, so we could write it down and so that we could run, so that we can do specifically what You've called us to do. Father, we're asking for our community that Your will would be revealed. Father, I'm really kind of excited that some of the pastors are getting together and praying with the mayor and at his office this week, the first week of the year. Father, I just pray that Your will would be revealed for this city and this area and this region, Father, in Jesus' name, in our world. Father, we come seeking after You, knowing that we will find You, that if we seek You diligently, we will find You. Lord, I'm asking that You speak to all of us, Father God, and put something on the inside of us that would be impossible to accomplish without Your grace, without Your ability, without Your favor to do it, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I'm praying for Lord, we're praying for our lost loved ones that need to be saved. We just declare that this is the month, this is the year, this is the time, this is the day of their salvation. Father, we believe that and receive it now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, change their hearts, soften their hearts, bring people across their path that will be talking to them about Jesus. Turn them back towards You, Heavenly Father, this year. Do something great. Father God, we're expecting in this place, Father God, bodies to be healed, marriages to be restored, finances to be turned around in Jesus' name, depression to be gone, hope to arise, and joy to be overflowing, Father God, in people's lives. Father God, we're asking and believing that the broken places and the broken things be mended and that You do new things. You do new things in this place, in people's lives. We're praying and asking You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.